59.
Why 59 weeks of Paul cutting me off as I try to introduce the show?
You'd think we'd be in unison by now, but...
Right.
Maybe for episode 60.
Maybe I'll just let you do the intro.
Maybe.
That one.
That'd
Probably
be great.
Not.
Just how about the whole show?
I'll leave. I've got other things to do. Actually, I don't. This is very important. It's very important that we bring you the hottest stories that Microsofties are talking about week after week. And last week, while I thought we had some quality stories.
Yeah, it was a little short.
We've gotten some comments that the length of the show was not
We are in
long
higher
enough,
demand.
That length matters, and yep. we... fell short.
Yep.
So this week we promise to
make it a little longer.
Speak slower.
Uh-huh. And maybe even throw some more videos from my trip to MMS a couple weeks back.
Maybe we will do that. The other thing I want to thank you guys really quick. We had last week two of the top three rated videos on Channel 9. Much appreciated to all of yours thumbing ups that you do. So keep doing that because it looks really good on our reviews. Okay, let's start the show.
All right, Laura.
Yeah.
Microsoft is what with the cloud?
We're all in, Paul.
We are all in. See, you finally got it this week. That's
what
great.
Do you mean? I get it every week.
But we have heard from our customers that
yes.
they are not all ready to be all in with the public cloud, and
that people are fearsome.
Yeah, and they want to have some private cloud goodness going on. So Microsoft, I would imagine over the next 5 or 10 years, will continue to invest in public as well as private clouds, and
mm-hmm.
we have a couple of releases that we're talking about today that help us one step forward in that direction. So
right, one of them is BizTalk.
BizTalk Server 2010.
Okay.
And we're also announcing the release candidate of the Windows Server App Fabric.
Okay.
Which is actually a set of a couple different technologies. One was codenamed Dublin, the other one was codenamed Velocity.
Like that one.
Yeah, so Velocity is actually like this distributed in-memory cache that allows you to have the same type of data replicated across multiple different servers and access it very, very quickly. So this is meant to be like a cache in front of your database.
Mm-hmm.
While even though database calls are pretty quick, they are relatively much slower than getting it from this cache. So this has been an incubation project that actually came out of the SQL org a while back.
Did you know about it?
Of course I knew about
yeah.
it. And now I'm glad to see that this is coming out, and it is the Windows Server App Fabric.
Cool, and I think they said one was released now and then another one in June? Is that what I read?
I'm not sure.
Well, we'll point you to the link. so I don't know if you know this, but...
of course I do.
Probably. Back in 1999, I worked for this company called... This is a little backstory here. I worked for a company called Sudo.com, which was an online interactive streaming media chat. The whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to what we do here, except it was live. Anyway, the man who ran this company... visionary that he is, threw
yep.
a big, huge Y2K party. And at the entrance into this Y2K Tech Fest rave party, he made everyone answer, Bill Gates is. Okay? And this was 1999. So to hear people's, you know, predictions as to what Bill Gates was going to be, what they thought of him now, it's just really, you know, amazing. And some of them were dead on and some of them sort of less accurate. Point is... This isn't about me here, Paul.
I've been waiting for it.
Yeah, the point is, there's a clip now going around from Bill Gates back in 2007 where he, too, apparently is a visionary, and he made some predictions about the future of personal computing, and he sort of invented the iPad.
I wouldn't quite.
Let's throw the clip and let you guys decide.
So what is your device?
What's your device in 5 years that you rely on the most?
I don't think you'll have one device. I think you'll have a full-screen device that you can carry around, and you'll do dramatically more reading off of that. I mean, I believe in the tablet form factor. I think you'll have voice. I think you'll have ink. You'll have some way of having a hardware keyboard and some settings for that. And then you'll have the device that fits in your pocket, which the whole notion of how much function should you combine in there, you know, there's navigation computers, there's media, there's phone. Technology is letting us put more things in there, but then again, you really want to tune it so people know what they expect. So there's quite a bit of experimentation in that pocket-sized device. But I think those are natural form factors, and that we'll have the evolution of the portable machine, and the evolution of the phone will both be extremely high volume, complementary. That is, if you own one, you're more likely to own the other.
And then at home, you'd have a setup that they all plug into?
Well, at home, you'll have your living room, which is your 10-foot experience, and that's connected up to the internet. And there you'll have gaming and entertainment And there's a lot of experimentation in terms of what content looks like in that world. And then in your den, you'll have something a lot like you have at your desk at work. You know, the view is that every horizontal and vertical surface will have a projector, so you can put information. You know, your desk can be a surface that you can sit and manipulate things.
Can I please have a room in my house that doesn't have a screen and a projector in it?
You bet.
Thanks.
The bathroom.
Well. So, I mean,
it's fake.
You can clearly see, yeah, it's just like it's all CGI. That was actually the precursor to, what's the Avatar. That's what that same technology was used.
Ah, okay.
But no, I mean, clearly Bill did not invent the
iPad. No, he
didn't. But, I mean, Microsoft has been consistently investing in tablet-type technology and touch technology for a very, very long time. The thing that I find interesting about this is that it seems like Bill is always more open and honest about his thinking of the future. I don't think it's really like Bill had the right idea and Steve was just kind of off in the weeds. I think Steve Jobs is known as the guy that continually says that certain things aren't coming out when they actually do. Like, he made the comment about...
He's less transparent, your opinion.
The things that I've seen, though, is, like, before video came out on the iPod, he's like, nobody really wants portable video on such a small screen.
Right.
And then, like, 2 months later, bam, video iPod.
Right.
He did the same thing about the phone, and this, to me, seems like he was like, yeah, the PC is going to be... the thing when now it's, I don't know, the iPhone, the iPad. It's...
Right. So essentially you think Steve Jobs is stealing our ideas, hoarding them for himself, and then releasing them as though they were his own?
Yeah, I guess if you read between the lines and completely ignore everything
Just
that
kidding.
I said.
That's not at all what we're saying. But it is an interesting clip to see what people were saying back in 2007.
Way back.
Next. So people are always asking me, what's it like to work at Microsoft? What is life like at Microsoft? And... apparently, according to a recent poll put out by Flowtown, or as Paul calls it, Flowtown.
Flowtown.
Microsoft is number one, the most social company.
We do a whole lot of this.
Yes.
A whole lot of this.
Of course, they mean in terms of social networking.
Uh-huh.
And it says that it's
social
networking. I almost forgot. God, it's really good to have you around.
I know.
It really is. Apparently, LinkedIn is the number one sort of social website, social network that we're using, which is interesting. Are you a LinkedIn?
Yeah, I've had like 400 requests, and I decided to set up a LinkedIn profile, and every now and then I'll accept a few.
Right. I mean, to me, LinkedIn is like a job site. It's like if I need to change career, if I need a job, I'll go hunting on LinkedIn. But it's not somewhere I'm going to poke around and spend an afternoon clicking on my friends.
It depends how many of these things you might need to get another job. I mean, we'll see. That's true.
You never know. But it is interesting, though. And Apple was down at like number 10.
Yeah. Well,
and by far.
Yeah. The thing about this is like this doesn't talk about effectiveness of corporate communications through social media. This is like employees. Mm-hmm. Using social media sites. So I think that while these numbers are kind of interesting to look at, like I don't really see how this makes one company better or worse than another or more or less
Right,
effective.
I don't think it's saying that. But I mean, to that point, Microsoft, I mean, I just know from my own personal experience, does have, I mean, every team has its own Twitter following.
Yep,
most of them
blogs.
Have their own Facebook page. Yep. We are huge into blogging. So, I mean, I haven't worked at another company in a really long time, so I don't know what it's like out there for y'all. But here at Microsoft, I mean, there's so much social networking just entrenched in our culture as a company. So I
think that actually might kind of work against us in some regards. Like, it might help if you're, like, super hyper-targeted towards, like, one small team at Microsoft's thing.
Right.
But, like, if there's not some way that people new to this area can discover all the different teams, and mm-hmm. It seems like there needs to be some type of consolidated voice. And I think Channel 9 and, like, different things through our evangelism organizations help drive traffic to certain areas, but I feel like it's very fragmented right now.
It is. Well, I mean, Microsoft is a huge company. It's hard to know. It's hard to know and follow what's going on and track all the different areas. But I think there are, you know, broader scale places like you can go to, obviously Channel 9 or just Ping for all your news needs, Or, you know, we do have a news center, Microsoft.com/PressPass, where you can get the big events. Yeah. And we can follow just plain Microsoft at on Twitter. And
what I do like is that Microsoft employees just have the freedom and the autonomy to go out and do this. And we just have so many passionate people that, that love doing what they do and they want to get it out there. I just think that maybe there's a couple of things that we can do to help corral everybody in the same direction.
All right. We'll work on that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, domo morigato, Mr. Roboto, domo.
We're keeping this in.
Yeah.
Keep rolling, Bob.
Oh, great.
What are you talking about, Paul?
So Microsoft has an announcement that the Robotics Development Studio is now free.
Cha-ching!
Without the cha-ching. I mean, it's
no zero. Cha-ching!
That's right. Previously, there were three versions of the Robotics Development Studio. One was a free, limited version that you could download.
Just a little taste.
And there were also a couple SKUs. One was available for our academic partners, like universities and research institutions. And there was a premium version that you could go buy.
Cha-ching.
But now, all of that is free.
Cha-nothing.
Now, for those of you that don't know what the robotics investments are from Microsoft, this is essentially just a bunch of developer tools that will help you build on top of platforms like Lego Mindstorm or the iRobot Create software platform. So you can do a whole bunch of cool things with this. It's not a robotics operating system, like there are a number of other things in this space. Yeah. And it might also help you dance like Laura.
You never know, but you should definitely check out, if you haven't already been following the robotics team here at Microsoft, because they do some really cool stuff, and every now and then they have cool events that I like to go to because I do enjoy robotics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just hoping that they could make us one step closer to having our own personal Scarlett Johansson or Autobot.
I don't like where this is going, Paul.
Autobots.
This is a G-fan
Transform
show.
And roll out!
Autobots, relieve them of their weapons.
All right, everybody, that is our show. It's hopefully it's an appropriate length this week.
Hopefully. Let us know.
But some exciting news. I am going back to Vegas for the second time in 6 weeks. I will be opening up for Louis Anderson on Sunday, May 30th.
And the Excalibur?
At the Excalibur.
Very nice.
And if any of our Niners want some tickets, I actually can get
a discount. And if anyone can sneak in a video camera and get footage of said opening act, because Paul refuses to film it and show us, we'll work something out.
Yeah. How about we just go to some of the other footage that I have from MMS, and we'll go.
We could do that.
This interview with Cameron Fuller, one of the MVPs that.
I am not your puppet anymore.
Update.
So that's a wrap. We're goodbye this week. See you next week. But make sure to check out Paul's interview from who? MMS what? Where?
Cameron Fuller.
Cameron Fuller. Peace out.
All right. All right, we are here at the Microsoft Management Summit 2010, and we are with Cameron Fuller, who is one of the System Center Operations Manager MVPs, and you have an announcement that has come up recently. What have you done?
Well, what we've been working on is the System Center 2007 R2 book, which is released recently, and the big change associated with this is what we've done in historical releases is that we would actually have a group of authors which would take the entire book and subdivide it and write those sections. What we've done with this is we've actually gone out and we've gotten people in the community that are leaders within their particular areas of technologies, and we've had them assist us with this effort. So what we've got here is not really a book that was written by the three or four authors that are listed on it, but rather a book that was written by the entire community.
Oh, wow. So this is kind of like an open source effort for publishing.
That's the first time I've heard that. That's a great term for it. So, yeah, community-driven book, open source book kind, you know, type concept. It's very much a good correlation on it. So.
Very cool. So what are some of the topics that are in the book?
Let's see. Some of the heavy topics that we deal with, some of the things that are custom on it, we deal with in-depth ACS. We deal with, of course, the new functionality associated with Ops Manager R2, you know, the cross-platform, how do you run it on Windows Server 2008, SQL Server 2008, things of that nature. But in addition to that, we also do deep dives into concepts like targeting. So how do you actually create your own rules, monitors, and rest of them, and actually target them properly? And then within MP authoring, we go into things like cookdown. It's a much more advanced concept that I'd understood, and now that I actually read the chapter, I understand what they're talking about finally, which is cool. So there's some good stuff there.
Very cool. So this is available now. You can get it at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and
probably, do you have a website or a blog or anything where people can come see some more of your stuff?
Yeah, Barnes & Noble and Amazon, right on the mark there. I think the printed books are available right now. The e-books are just about to hit in the next couple of days. We keep hearing any day now. They're going to be out, so we're going to go sometime soon. From our website perspective, I'd recommend www.systemcentercentral.com. Okay. That's where we do all of our blogging.
Great. Well, thanks a lot for the interview, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you, Paul.
All right.